Gemara and Dav Gimel Aleph told us about the Machlokes HaTanoim, how big is the minimum size of a sukkah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. The opinion of Beis Hillel was Kedei Rosh HaVerubah, which we said was 6x6 Tvachim. The opinion of Beis Shammai was Kedei Rosh HaVerubah V'Shulchanoi, which is 7x7 Tvachim. And the opinion of Rebbe was that you need Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, 4 Amos by 4 Amos, which is much bigger than 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim or 7 Tvachim by 7 Tvachim. We mentioned last time that we passed like Beis Shammai, that the minimum size of for a sukkah is 7 by 7 Tvachim, even though this is not typically the case that we passed like Beis Shammai. This is one of those unique instances in which we passed like Beis Shammai. But the Gemara picks up with that discussion 6 lines from the bottom of Gimel Med Aleph and informs us that even though with regards to sukkah we don't passed like Rebbe, that the minimum size for sukkah is 4 amas by 4 amas. Rather, we paskin like Beis Shammai that is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. There are other instances or other circumstances, other halachos, when we will adopt Rebbe Shir. And in fact, in general, that is what is assumed to be the minimum size for abayas and for other purposes as well. The Gemara picks up, Man tanu lahadat tanu rabbanan, who's the one who taught the following braisa? Bayas she'em bay, arba, meaning amongst the three tanam that we mentioned until now, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Rebbe. Who is the author of the following braisa? Baya she'em by arba amos al arba amos pata min a mezuzah. A home that is less than 4 amos by 4 amos is pata from a mezuzah. And the Gemara will tell us later on that that's because the pasuk says bias with regards to mezuzah. Uchsavtem amezuzahs beisecho visharecho. So since the pasuk says bias, the minimum size for a bias is 4 amos by 4 amos. Then the Gemara says min hamakeh, because the pasuk says Kisivna bayis chadash vasisa makeh legagecha. I think that when you build a new house, you will make a fence around the roof. We all have roofs. Most of us don't have fences around the roof. So the Ritva explains, this is quoted actually by the Bir Halach and Hilchos Chol HaMoed, of all places, that it's only when it's a roof that's used. If you have a roof that's not used. Like, see, the roofs of these buildings, I don't know if these roofs are used, but if you have, let's say, a balcony, or in the penthouse in a building in Manhattan or something like that, and you have a roof that is used, then you'd have to make a wall around it, and you would make a bracha when you would make the wall, the bracha for making a makkah. But if you have a roof that's not used, like most of us who have homes and you have an angled roof, the only person who's walking up there is a roofer, and he's experienced about how to conduct himself on a roof without falling off, usually, so then he don't need a wall. Most of the people, regular people are not using the roof. Or if you have a roof that's not taller than 10 tefachim off the ground, 3 feet off the ground, because the pasuk says you have to make a fence, because if you don't, someone is going to fall off. And the pasuk says, sounds like he's going to get killed. You don't get killed if you fall off, a 2-foot porch. The only time you could possibly get killed, the Gemara tells us, Baba Kama, when there's a bar, a sakana for Misa is if it's 10 tefachim deep. So if it's 10 tefachim tall, or 3 feet tall, so then someone who falls off the porch could get killed. So therefore you have to make a maka, you have to make a wall around the porch. That would be the equivalent of a roof. Because generally speaking, in our homes, though, we don't have this, most people don't have walls around their roofs because we don't use the roof. But it does come up. People have, let's say, many people don't know this. You have like a sunken driveway in front of your house. You have a front door, and some homes have a sunken driveway. And then you have, let's say, the front door is raised, and they want to have an attached garage. But they don't want to take up the whole first floor with the garage, so the garage is sunken into the ground. But the problem is, from the front lawn to the bottom of the driveway, it is like a retaining wall, and it's often very tall. So if you have such a thing, you really have to put a fence along that. You have to put a fence along. There would be a scenario of a market. Even though it's not really a roof, but you have such a like a bar in your property, would be a similar type of halacha. Okay, so that's the halacha of a makkah. In order to be chayiv in a makkah, your house, even if it is, let's say, so tall, and even if you do have a roof that people use, if it's not 4 amos by 4 amos, that's not kisivna bayis chadash. That's not like building a new home. Ve'ena matami b'negoyim. If you have a home that you find the neged saras on it, So then, again, it would have, since the pasuk says bias with regards to tumas negoim or nige batim, it would have to be 4 amos by 4 amos, wide and long. Ve'ein or nechlet bebata reichayma, and it would not be considered a bata reichayma. The halacha bata reichayma, as opposed to stay achuza, is a little bit confusing because they're opposites. But a bata reichayma is if you sell a house in a walled city in Eretz Yisrael, you have 1 year to redeem it. If you don't redeem it within the year, then you can no longer redeem it afterwards. Even when Yovel comes, it doesn't return in the Yovel. Sdei Achuza is almost just the opposite. You have 2 years where you cannot redeem it. Sdei Achuza means it's an ancestral property. So you have 2 years in which which you can't touch it. After the 2 years, that's when you can redeem it. As opposed to Bata Rechayma, you have 1 year to redeem it. After that, it's lost. Sdei Achuza, you have 2 years to redeem where you can't touch it. After that, you can buy it back. And if you don't buy it back, it goes back in the Yovel. Automatically. So, but what is considered to be, yeah?
Halakha l'maisa, what do we say is too deep or too much of a fall?
Meaning that you would need a makeh.
Yeah.
3 feet. 10 tefachim. Yeah.
Okay.
But the equivalent of 3 feet, which you often have. I mean, there are people who have that on their. It's not unheard of. You should really put like a fence there.
So a boar is chayav makeh.
You can't have a boar in your property. So I guess maybe it's a boar, but he's saying who's walking there. So why isn't it like a porch? You're saying it's not a porch. It's not attached to my house. This is stam. I have like a deep pit in my backyard. Also, maybe it's not a maka, you're saying. It's like just having a boar. And it's not a boar, but it's a rabbin where someone could walk there and get killed. It's a boar, but it's a yachid. Only the people in my family could get hurt. Right. I don't know, you may be right. All right, we'll have to look into it further. Meaning maybe we could justify the people with the retaining wall. No offense. All right, we'll look into it more. You're saying if it's a porch, that's an attachment to my home. Okay, so then you could obligate me in a maka if it's so tall because it's attached to the house. Here you're saying it's just a ditch in my driveway. It's not
like a pool.
Unless you say,
it's still in your
rishus. Is it a din in your rishus or a house? No, it has to be part of the house. If I, let's say, have an empty pool in my backyard, I don't have to. Legally, I don't think you probably have an empty pool if you want. Even though someone could fall in and get killed. You have the fence around the property because I can't have someone walk in. But if I want to have that in my... Oh, you're saying right here? Yeah, but that's a legal lease. I'm talking about the pihalacha.
Yeah.
You can have an open pool if you want. So is this like an open pool? Is this like a market? I mean, is this like an open roof? Probably like an open pool, right? As he's saying, it's not so bad. Just stupid, but not, it's just dangerous, but you're not, probably not a makim. You're probably right. Okay, bad example. Where were we? Yeah, so the Batei Rechayma. In order, though, to have that 1 year to buy it back, to qualify as a Batei Rechayma, and then after that it's lost, as opposed to the Stei Achuza, we can't touch it for 2 years, but then it does go back in the Yovel, it would have to be 4 amos by 4 amos wide, again, because the Pasuk describes that as a house, as opposed to not a house. A house is always 4 amos by 4 amos. Ve'ein chayzen alav me'orchei ha'mochama, again, we just read about this in Kriyas HaTorah, that one of the three individuals, or a number of individuals that go back from the front lines of battle is Asher Bana Bayis V'loi Chanachai, a person who builds a new house and he hasn't had a chance to live in it, so he goes back. Again, that would have to be the minimum size house. Would have to be 4 amos by 4 amos. Ve'ein ma'arvin boy. Ein ma'arvin boy was with regards to Eruvei Chatzeros. When you build an Eruv around a suburban community, so the way people usually build an Eruv is by building poles. We're going to get into this. Poles with a string on top. And that's a symbolic doorway. So we have, even though most people don't build homes with all doorways around, but we do sometimes have doorways next to doorway. Look at first hall. You have doorway, 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 doorway. So why can't we just have doorways all the way around? And that's what we have. That's how we make our communities into symbolically, private domains as opposed to public domains or undefined domains. We make it into a private domain by building not walls around it, but symbolic doorways around it. However, that does render it all one private domain, but in the end of the day, everyone's living in their private homes. So how can we really consider this to be a private domain if everybody's living in their separate independent homes? So midai raisa, it is a rishus hayachid, and you could carry there. It is a private domain. You could carry there on Shabbos. But Shlomo HaMelech was mesakein another eruv on top of that in order to make it like we're all living together in a really a private domain. Not a private domain where everybody lives in their own independent home, but everyone's really living together. And the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim to that which Shlomo HaMelech devised, this this original takana of making a secondary Eruv with the Pasuk and Sefer Mishlei, Im Bini, Im Chacham Livcha, Yismach Libi Gamani. So fine, so we have this second type of Eruv, this that Shlomo HaMelech was masakin, known as Eruvei Chatzeros. And the way you do that is everybody in the community comes and takes a little bit of, a challah, and we all place it in one home. And then it's symbolically as if we're all living in that one home where all the challahs are stored. No one, most people have never participated by giving a challah to make an Erev Chatzeros, because the Gemara says, it appears in Shulchan Aruch, that there's a maximum. Even if you have 1,000 people here, you don't need 1,000 challahs in order to consider it to be, as if we're all living here. We have enough that enough people, let's say, I think it's 18 grogers or whatever, you have enough of a shear that enough people could partake of it, and symbolically it's as if we're all living there. So the way this is done in a practical way is usually the rabbi buys a box of matzahs Pesach time, and someone else picks it up on behalf of all of the people who live in the town or will move in until next Pesach on their behalf, and based on the principle of Zach and Liyadim Shalai Bafanov, we talked about last year, I can give you something, or acquire something on your behalf, even if you're not here or aware of it, as long as it's beneficial to you. So somebody picks it up on behalf of all of the Bnei Ha'ir, and it's as if they they own a part of the box of matzahs, and it belongs to everybody in the city, yeah.
Why do we need the door system also?
No. Midday Raisa, you can't carry in an area unless it's a private domain. So as long as we build walls or symbolic walls around the city, that makes it a private domain. Midday Raisa, you're good. You should have been good. Midday Rabbanan, Shlomo HaMelech was Mesakin, that's not really like a private domain, because everybody's really living in their own independent house. So how private is it? So he was Mesakin a secondary level of that, to declare it as a private domain or one single residence, and the way we do that is by everybody putting their food together, which really represents your Iker residence, is where your food is, and then we're really all living together in one house.
Isn't that sort of like the same problem? It's symbolically that we're living together. I said symbolically we're all in the same place, but you said that's a problem because it's not really we're all living in the same place, but all of a sudden...
No, it should have been. Once you have walls around it, that's a private domain as opposed to a public domain.
Right, so why... I'm saying...
What was his motivation in doing so?
If symbolically was enough, and adding another symbol is it's the same issue. You can argue the same...
You can make it... You could make the argument that now it's we're more united as opposed to if we each... it's still somewhat public. Yeah, it's secondary degree. Even further. More private.
Also, does that mean I can go to whoever...
Of course. So that Shefter always makes the point, he loves raising this issue, is that really everybody, in order for this to work, most communities are not like this, but in order for this to really work, you really have to publicize where the box of matzahs is, and we'll let people know, by the way, if you forgot to buy Lechem Mishnah for Shabbos, please feel free to come and partake of the box of matzahs. So if Shefter and his building has his own Erev Chatzeros for his building, he doesn't subscribe to the larger Erev. So, but in his building, he makes an Erev Chatzeros to be able to, even though it's one private domain, the building, but you have different people in different residences. So, if you have a building that's not within a large Erev, you really have to make an Erev Chatzeros in that building too, in order to carry from apartment to apartment. So, he has he's the one in the apartment building who makes the Erev Chatzeros for that building. And he lets everybody know, by the way, we have Lechem Mishnah for you if you're interested. He said one guy every week never bought Lechem Mishnah. Just buy again. If Shefter has anyway, why can I take them? So,
For me, though, I don't know. I don't even know if whoever's doing the why you're concerned knows about me. I don't know how.
I think Rabbi Rapp has it. And he picks it up and having a mind everybody.
How does he do that? He says every person.
Well, he doesn't pick it up because he bought it. Someone else will pick it up, having in mind all the students in yeshiva.
You can do that.
Even though it's a little undefined. Yeah, and we say, and whoever will move until next Pesach, that's okay too.
Well, luckily, I can be Shalom Fanov even if I don't know the person's name.
Correct, yeah. Right, even if they haven't moved in, it's called, a concept called Breira on the Yesh Breira of the Rabban.
It seems a little strange to me.
You don't like it. You're saying we should have to know who the people are. No, it's the defined group of all the Jews who are interested in being part of the Arab. So so that allows us to carry above and beyond, to fulfill Shlomo Melech's takana of Eruvei Chatzeros. But in order to, first of all, need to be a part of the Arab, Or, as we'll see, to place the Eruv there, you have to be in a house of 4 amas by 4 amas. If I live in a little hut that's less than 4 amas by 4 amas, I don't need to participate in the Eruv. If there'd only be me and I live in a big house and there's another Jew who lives in a little hut that's less than 4 amas by 4 amas, I don't need to make an Eruv Chatzeres because he's not even living here. He's living in a temporary dwelling. It doesn't even count. And above and beyond Eruv Chatzeres, there's what's known as Shitufei Mavuos. Shitufei Mavuos is Eruv Chatzeres as if we have houses that all open up into the same courtyard. But then you could have courtyards that open up into a central courtyard. So that was a similar type issue, and you had to make, instead of what's called Eruv Chatzeres, making an Eruv in order that we should all be able to use the communal chatzer in between. But they had, this is the way their housing structures, it was in the time of the Gemara, they had chatzers, you know, like, I guess housing developments in Florida are kind of structured like this. You have, like, sometimes, or anywhere, you have, like, houses that open up into a courtyard that's shared by that circle, or bungalow colonies, you know, sometimes. And then all the circles open up into, like, this, like, you know, like clubhousey type area that's used by all the different circles and quadrants and things. So that was Shitufei Mavuos in order so all the different circles and different... different, you know, parts of the larger development should be able to use these central areas. They made a similar type of arrangement over there. The Eimei Nichem Bo Eruv. Not only do you not have to participate if you're less than 4 amas by 4 amas, but you don't. We can't place it in your home. It has to be in one of the homes that's a significant home here in order to be symbolically as if we're all living there. But if it's less than 4 amas by 4 amas, we can't all be symbolically living in a hut. So it has to be one of the homes within the Eruv. And then a final halacha, second to the final, penultimate, ve'ein oisin oisai ibur ben shtei ayaros. You cannot, Shabbos, as we know, there's a halacha called Chum Shabbos. You're not allowed to walk more than alpayim, 2,000 amas outside of the city limits. This is the way Rashi understands the case. This is a whole different understanding. But if you have, let's say, two cities that are, you know, somewhat close to each other, but you're... not allowed to walk, again, 2,000 amas outside of the city. But before you start counting 2,000 amas, the Gemara tells them, Masechtas Eruv, and you have 70 amas. 70 amas is still considered to be like the outskirts of the city. So if I have one city over here, and one city over here, and there's about 70 amas and change, and 70 amas and change, and there's a house in the middle, so that house can unite these two cities together, because the 70 amas is kind of like the outskirts of the city, you know, that's still considered to be part of the city. So if you have 70 amas with a house right in the middle, that unites the two cities to be one, because that one house in between is uniting them together. And therefore, you have 2,000 amas in all directions, and one person could walk from one other side, in one side of the city, to the other side of the city, and would all be considered one large city. He could walk 2,000 amas this direction, 2,000 amas in that direction. So the one house can unite the two different sides of the hourglass, the two different parts of the city, to be one. But in order to do that, the house has to be dalet amas by dalet amas. If it's less than that, then it can't be an ibur ben shtei ayaros. And finally, ve'ein ha'achim v'ashut v'nchokim bo'in. If it's less than 4 amas by 4 amas, then it falls Birusha, that's the great estate that the children inherited. So less than 4 amas by 4 amas, you can't force the brothers to split it. Rather, it would have to go to one brother over the other. The Gemara says that the Gemara discusses this issue further. If you look down at the Gemara asks, V'atanan, maybe 10 lines from the bottom, Ein chokin es achotza achieba 4 amas lezeh, even if it would be 4 amas by 4 amas, you don't split anything unless there's going to be, in the end, 4 amas for this one and 4 amas for that one. So it needs 8 amas in order to split it. So the Gemara has to adjust its understanding of this halacha, that it doesn't mean that if it would be 4 amas by 4 amas, we'd split it. What it means is, if you have a house that's 4 amas, and the father left behind a whole block of homes, and so then everybody who gets a house gets part of the public areas. If your house is less than 4 amas by 4 amas, you don't even get part of the public areas. So more of a detail issue. But it doesn't mean to say we'd actually split it if it would be 4 amas by 4 amas. In order to split it, you'd have to have 8 amas. By 8 amas. So who is this brisa going according to? That all these halakas you need 4 amas by 4 amas. We said by sukkah, Beis Shammai held 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, Beis Hillel held 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim, and only Rebbe held 4 amas by 4 amas. But when it comes to all these halakas, it's 4 amas by 4 amas. So Gemara says, Lema Rebbe he, should we say that all these halakas are only according to Rebbe? V'loi Rabbanon. So, and for the Gemara, Afilu Tema Rabbanon. I'll even tell you all of these are only are even according to the Rabbanon. Ad kan lo ka'ami Rabbanon hasam ela inyan sukkah. The only time the Rabbanon held Beis Shammai Beis Hillel that it's enough for with 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim, or the way we paskin 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, Rosh Arubah for Shulchanai, that's only with regards to Sukkah. The Diras Arayhi, that's a temporary dwelling. Avalagabi Bias, the Diras Kevahu, with regards to all these halachas that you need a house. A house is a diras keva, permanent dwelling. Afiru rabbanu moedu di isbe daud amas al daud amas dairi be inchi vi loy loy dairi be inchi. If there's 4 amas by 4 amas, people will live there. If there's less than 4 amas by 4 amas, people will not live there in a permanent way. Maybe 7 days of sukkahs or 8 days of sukkahs, people will live there, but not in a permanent way. So all of these halachas that require a permanent home, everyone would agree that it's daud amas by daud amas. Yeah.
It seems implicit in the logic of the Gemara that we're actually supposed to be spending all our time in the Sukkah, because we're talking about,
of course, actually, you are
not just even
no.
People say that you sleep in the Sukkah, it sounds like they want you to be,
you live in the Sukkah, man,
right?
All
I've never heard of somebody who,
not true,
has their plumbing in their Sukkah or something like that.
I know people who have plumbing in the Sukkah.
What?
It's usually a little eccentric people, but yeah, you're right. I hear you. I mean, it's just too difficult to arrange plumbing. But yeah, it's...
It feels as though you're supposed to be in an uncomfortable environment.
It's supposed to be comfortable. Make this so comfortable. I know people have heaters, air conditioners, carpets. In our climate, it's cold. It's really hard to sit in sukkah. We might even be putter from, and we'll get into this maybe later in the Masechta, but we might even be putter from sukkah. We're all mitzdayer in the sukkah, usually, unless it's a gorgeous day. At night, it's uncomfortable. So the question is, why aren't we mitzdar all the time? We should be putter all the time from sukkah. And that's why many perhaps don't even sit in sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, because we're always mitzdar. We push ourselves to sit in sukkah even though we are mitzdar. Our Hashochan has things like that. In Eretz Yisrael, it's gorgeous sukkah time. I don't know if you've ever been in Eretz Yisrael for sukkah. It's beautiful. You really sleep and live in the sukkah. It's wonderful. Anyway, what is the shear though? How do we measure this Daud Amos by Daud Amos? So we said for all these halachas, we need a Diras Keva, you need Daud Amos by Daud Amos, even though by Sukkah, 7 Tvachim by 7 Tvachim. How do we measure this Daud Amos by Daud Amos? So if you look at the Rambam writes, at least with regards to the halachas of Mezuzah, and this comes up very much Lamaisa, the Rambam writes that you don't need actually 4 by 4, as long as it has 16 square Amos. In whatever shape. It might be instead of 4 by 4, it might be 2 by 8, or it might be, it might be 2 by 8, it might be 1 by 16, as long as other derivative of that. You can have it in different shapes. It doesn't have to be exactly a square of 4 by 4. Hove yeshbo l'rabeya arba amas, or arba amas chayv b'mezuzah. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh writes in Hilchos Mezuzah, Af al pi shebechol asfarim ein kosev ela bayis she'ein bo arba amas, even though it always mentions 4 amas, and not 4 amas by 4 amas, where Alf is garish she'ein bo arba amas al arba amas the mistaber the wachazi gadira b'inyan acher. It's got to be 4 by 4, otherwise you can't live there. If it's 1 by 16, you put it on, Street Easy or Zillow, 1 by 16. I don't know who's going to rent or buy such a house. It's too narrow. You can't live like that. It's got to be 4 by 4 or something chashiv, okay? But, the location obviously will make all the difference. But if it's 1 by 16, who's going to live there? Dwo kumosh kuz v'aralim shemhaya arko yes arach boho v'yesh b'arba amas ha'arba amas chayv mezuzah d'arba amas ha'arba amas b'inan l'chol hanu d'kachash b'braiz v'harakam d'sukkah. It's got to be 4 by 4. All of these halachas, but most relevant lemaisa is it has to be a 4 amas by 4 amas exactly. And in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Mezuzah, we pass in like the Rambam, that as long as it's 16 square amas, Yechayv Mezuzah, whatever shape it's in. But the Shach writes in Hilchos Mezuzah, we should be cheshish for the Rosh when it comes to a bracha. So if it's less than 4 amas by 4 amas, a square, unless it can have inside of it a square, 4 amas by 4 amas, which is roughly 7 feet by 7 feet. So then it does. If it's not 7 by 7, which in some apartments you can have a room that's not 7 by 7, but it does have 16 square amas, it would have 16 square amas. So according to the Rambam, you'd be chayv mezuzah. According to the Rosh, you're not chayv mezuzah, and therefore we'd put up a mezuzah without a bracha. However, the Emek Bracha was of Aryeh Pamuramchik, who was one of the foremost Talmidim of the Brisker Rav, has a well-known sefer in yeshiva circles called the Emek Bracha. So he writes in the Emek Bracha that perhaps the Rambam and the Rosh are having a fundamental machlokes as to what is the nature of this shear of 4 amas by 4 amas. He writes, "V'nira de pligi bazeh." The Rambam suffered the hod bias she ain loy davar amos ain loy din bias. Why does the Rambam hold that whenever you need a halach of a house, it has to be for amos? Humishum dezeh havi bechlal shiurim shenemru l'mayishem misinai. All of these shiurim we're going to get to the Gemara very soon. That all of these shiurim that we have are halach l'mayishem misinai throughout kol haTorah kula. The Gemara says shiurim chatzitzin u'mechitzin. All shiurim, kizai, all of these things, halach l'mayishem misinai. So this is part of that. A house means four amas by four amas. Halach l'mayishem misinai. Valkein, kevin she'ikar dino humishum din shiur, lo ba'inan she'a meruba. You know, it doesn't have to be. If it's a shiur, midoraisa, it's presumably 16 square amas. This is how big it is. As long as it's that big, that much floor space, so then it's a bias. She'a meruba, a few be'igol, even if it's a circle, round, nami, rak, she'e, bo, hashir, kadeh, l'raveh, adar, amas, adar, amas. As long as it has the square footage of 16 square amas. Aval harosh, sovar, te'ikar, adin, hum, yishum, deba'inen, she'e, chazi, ledira. The Rosh holds, why do we need four amas by four amas in a house? Because all these halachas require us to live in them in a permanent fashion. Demina she'e, chazi, ledira, v'chol, she'em, bo, adar, amas, loy, chazi, ledira, v'loy, mikri, bias. If it's not four amas by four amas, it's not fit for permanent living, and therefore it's not called a home. If it's not four amas by four amas, you can't live there. So according to the Rush, the reason you need four amas by four amas, that's the minimum shear that a person can live in permanently. It's still pretty small. And according to the Rambam, that's not the reason you need four amas by four amas. The reason you need four amas by four amas is because there's a halacha of a din bias. It has to be a home. And Chazal had a halacha l'mayishem misinai, a tradition that the minimum size of a home is da'ot amas by da'ot amas, in which case it doesn't make sense to argue that it has to be exactly four by four. But if it's, as long as you have the size, it would be fine. But according to the Rush, that it's because you need to live there, it would have to probably be four amas by four amas, not 1 by 16 or 2 by 8. It sounds like from the Gemara, like the Rush, though, Rabbi said. I mean, look back at the Gemara. The Gemara said, "Ad kan lo kami rabbanan." Even the rabbanan who hold by sukkah 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim here, the guys said these halachas need 4 amas by 4 amas. El inu sukkah diras arayhi, aval lagabi bayis the diras keva who afi rabbanan modu. That you need 4 by 4. He is be daud amas. So daud amas diary beinchi. People will live there. If not, people won't live there. Don't you see from here that it all depends on where people will live or won't, where they won't live? Like the Rush, it should have to be 4 amas by 4 amas, exactly, not a different, some other different setup. So the truth of the matter is, the Gemara seems to imply that that statement is only with regards to some of the items listed in the Braisa. Other items listed in the Braisa only because it says bias. Look on in the Gemara right after the two dots. Amar Mar. Potem in a mezuzah, min a makav, in a matamim, bin a goyim, bin a nechad, b'bote yorichayim, bin chozen lov, bin yorichayim, mochama. All of those halachas, which we described, my timer, why do they have to be 4 amas by 4 amas? The bias ksiv b'hu b'kuhu. All of them, it says bias. What about the other halachas? That's because people need to be able to live there. In order to be able to live there, you need 4 amas by 4 amas. So the Rambam understood these are two separate things. There are some halachas that would depend on a din bias, and a din bias halach l'maish misinai 4 amas by 4 amas. Some halachas depend on people being able to dwell there in a permanent fashion. That's a ruve chatzeris, a ruve shitufei mavuos. So then we arrive at the number 4 amas by 4 amas. Because that's what fit for Dira. So perhaps even the Rambam, who tells us it doesn't have to have the exact dimensions of 4 by 4, could be another variation of that, 2 by 8, 1 by 16. Perhaps that's only with regards to halachas where it says bias. So there's a shear, halach l'maish misinai. If it's in order for that people should be able to live there, like Shetufa Mavuos, Erubei Chatzeros, maybe then the Rambam would agree with the Rosh, in order for people to live there, you gotta have, you can't live like this. You know, you have to have 4 by 4. 4 by 4 squared. But at least with regards to mezuzah, where it says the reason you need that shear, uksatim ha-mezuzos beisecha visharecha, it's because of a bias. So the Rambam will hold that that's halacha l'maish misina, and it doesn't matter what whether that's it doesn't have to be exactly 4 by 4, even if it's a different variation of that. And according to the Rush, it would have to be exactly 4x4 because it needs to be fit for people to live there. The Rush understood this was all one halacha. Even the din bias, the reason it has to be 4x4 is in order that people should be able to live there in a permanent fashion. I believe that there are important nafkaminas. Not only, this comes up all the time. You could have a room in your house, a washroom, a part of the kitchen, you can have it all the time, that has 16 square amas, 49 square feet, but it doesn't have it 7x7. It has it, you have a 10x5. That's 50 square feet, but it's not 7x7. So you chayv mezuzah, not chayv mezuzah. So we would say you chayv mezuzah without a bracha. That's the machlek between the Rush and the Rambam. But there are other important, issues in Hilchos Mezuzah that hinge upon derivatives of this issue. For example, what do you say about the following situation? You have a kitchen that is 7 feet by 7 feet, dalet amos by dalet amos, but there's an oven there. There's a dishwasher there. There's a refrigerator there. Do those detract from the square footage or not? If it's a chair, no, a chair doesn't detract from the square. It's not like you need 7 feet by 7 feet of open floor space. Very few rooms probably at a chayv mezuzah then. But what it means is that because those items are movable. What about items that could be moved? Obviously, if it's built in, that's part of the wall probably. But let's say you have items that are there but could be moved but generally not moved. Or maybe even built-in countertops. I think if it's a cabinet, it seems like the wall. But maybe space you could use. Space you could use, but generally not used. Would that be memayit in the shear of Dawud Amas by Dawud Amas? Let's say it has 7x7 squared. But part of it is taken up with the refrigerator. Can you put up a mezuzah with a bracha? A washroom. 7x7 or 4 amas by 4 amas. But you have a washer and a dryer. You could be moved. Typically, you don't move them. Should you put up a mezuzah with a bracha or without a bracha? Yeah.
I'm assuming when we say we're making our measurements, we're saying this is what you need for living space. Living space doesn't mean that you need empty space. It means you need space to live in. You walk in the room and also it's not a bias because you filled up more space. No, it's part of the living space, right?
So if the shear of Dawud Amos by Dawud Amos depends on the fact that people can't live in less, like the Rush, in which case it has to be 4 amas by 4 amas squared. So I think your argument, this issue happens to be machlek sapoiskim, and again, we would put up a mezuzah without a bracha. That's always the cop out, by the way. Machlek sapoiskim, you put it up without a bracha. The bracha is not ma'akev in the mitzvah of mezuzah. So you put it up without a bracha. But I believe that the issue depends on this machlek sfishanim. If the reason you need 4 amas by 4 amas is because you need a minimum living space, so that if I'm using it for living, cabinets, a refrigerator, this is all part of my living, it shouldn't minimize or it shouldn't detract from the from our assessment of 4 amas by 4 amas. But if the pshat is like the Rambam, that it's because less than that is simply not called a house, then one can make the argument that if this is permanently there, maybe that's not called a house. If this is like that's part of the wall. If it's permanent, the refrigerator is perhaps part of the wall. Perhaps I need certainly tables and chairs, which are movable, wouldn't subtract or detract from the assessment of this space. But if it's countertops, maybe for the Rambam, that's a permanent item that is there and is memayit in the shear. One can make that argument, huh?
Implicit in a house. A house implicitly has. It has
non-movable items? No.
Yeah, of course it does.
Not necessarily.
I've never been in a house. Would you call it a house if it was just literally blank space? You walk into it, it's just a room. No one would want it.
Every real estate agent in the world would call that a house. Yes, for sure. This is a new concept that we have these appliances that don't move and take up space. If in a camp bunk, what is there that
it's
is
not a house? It's a bunk.
No, but I'm saying we're going back to Deros in prehistoric times. So I'm saying, so what is there? There's beds. That's certainly not memayit. Beds are movable items. Anything that's movable, most of the time it's a classical home until, the Industrial Revolution. What did you have in your house? We happen to have these appliances. So what do we do with these appliances? Or built-in cabinets. We can't, chas v'shalom, you have a freestanding cabinet. It's like you're living in a, everything has got to be built in. So then, how do we define this? So is living space, perhaps, I don't think a cabinet would be living space, but is living space, because it's boxed out, but it is countertops are living space, but at the same time, it's it, you know it, it you definitely don't have the same space in the room.
Well, we consider a house nowadays, like you're saying, that's not what they had asked back in the day. But when we say house, like, I don't think we should care so much about what they call the house. We should care about what's our
house. Correct. But the question is, what defines the shear of a house? Is it free space? The wall certainly doesn't count, even if the wall is very thick. So I'm asking, what's the difference between the wall and a washer dryer? So you'll tell me, well, the washer dryer you use. That's great. If the shear of 4 amos by 4 amos would be based on usage and livability, like the Rush defines it, and that's why he feels you need 4 squared, you know, 4 by 4 exactly, circumscribed inside, so then, okay, this is usable space. But if it's like the Rambam's halach l'moshe misinai, one could make the argument that if this is a permanent item that's there, it's like the wall. And it would minimize, it would detract, it would be mimayat in the shear. One could make such an argument. Maybe not.
The halach l'moshe misinai is not applicable today because we don't live in houses like that. No one lives in houses like he's describing, the halach l'moshe misinai.
It might not have anything to do with livability. It's what's described by bias. Bias means 4 amas by 4 amas.
Right. And
doesn't matter in what proportions.
So no one lives in Batimim.
Has nothing to do with living there. It's halach l'moshe misinai. Less than that is simply not usavtem amazuzos beisecha. So if that's the case, it's nothing to do with what's chazi l'dira, what's not chazi l'dira.
But that's what I'm saying. Beisecha, when we say beisecha, we should look nowadays and not really care what they consider beisecha nowadays. We want to fulfill the pasuk of beisecha.
The question is, what is the litmus test, meaning what is the definition of beisecha? Is it an area which you live in? That's what perhaps...
Even according to the Rambam, I'm saying...
It's halacha l'moshe misinai of square footage. That's what it is. That's how the Rambam understood it. This is halacha l'moshe misinai of square footage, beisecha. So if you're dealing with square footage, I could make the argument that any permanent item there detracts from the square footage. If I were a consumer buying an apartment, that's what I would tell the real estate agent, right? You know, how can you tell me the room is square footage when you have built-ins? When you have built-ins. I believe it relates to another critical issue which does come up very often also with regards to Hilchos Mezuzah. Again, the psak over there is that if it is, we put up without a bracha. So if you have a refrigerator or a washer-dryer or something like that, and it has, 50 square feet in the room, you'd put up a mezuzah, without a bracha. And if you had 50 square feet of open space, you'd put it up with a bracha. But it relates to another halacha too, which comes up very often. And that is, the Gemara tells in Maseches Menachos over here on Daf Lamed Aleph, that which side of the door do you put up the mezuzah? So the Gemara says, "Desanya usavtam amezuzah is beisecha, beisecha biascha min hayamin." You put it on. And the Gemara darshins beisecha derech biascha, the way you walk in on the right hand side, because the Gemara assumes people move their right foot first. Dichi akar inish kara diyamina akar. He picks up his right foot. So the first foot you're going to put in, you always want to start off on the right foot. You know, not only the right foot, but the correct foot. The correct foot is the right foot. Okay, so that was the foot that you would put in first. So therefore, the mezuzah should go on the right-hand side. So that means if a person is coming from outside his house and you're going inside the house, which side should the mezuzah be on? On the right-hand side. You're coming from somewhere where it's patur mezuzah to somewhere where it's chayav mezuzah, outside to inside, it's on the right-hand side. But there's many situations which are not that simple. What if you're going from one room to one room inside the house? So you say, well, you put it on the right-hand side. So the Gemara tells him, Maseches Menachos, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the mezuzah halach heker tzir. When you're putting up the mezuzah and you're trying to figure out which side should we put it on, the right, you know, who's right? Which side, which room's right? We were going from this room to that room. Do we put it on the right-hand side going into that room? We put it on the right-hand side coming into this room. This is a door that goes between two rooms. It's not coming from outside to inside. If you're coming from outside to inside, yeah, outside Gluck from the new pavilion, whatever we call that thing, inside, so it comes on the right side coming into Gluck. But what if it's between these two rooms? Which side do we put it on? So the Gemara says, I'm Yehuda Mashmuel, but mezuzah halach heker tzir. We follow where the hinges are. My heker tzir, Amar Ravada Avkosa. That's the hinges. Hey Chidami, where is a situation where you would follow the hinges? Kagon pischa debein trei bati, doorway between two homes. Bein or between the house of men and the house of women. The Gemara assumes they lived in two different homes. So then you would put it up, you would follow where the hinges are. So usually, this room is an exception, usually the hinges are on the inside of the house. Let's say most people build their house, who have intelligence, build their house with the hinges on the inside. Why would you do that? Because if you built the hinges on the outside, anybody could come along, pop out the hinges, and then you pop out the door. So most people, intelligence, build the room with the hinges on the inside in order to protect their home. So whichever side has the hinges on the inside, then you put it on the right side going in. Going into there where the hinges are, because that means that's the inside room and this is the outside room, because you always put the hinges on the inside. So if you're going between two different rooms, so the parallel would be from coming from outside to inside, you put it where on the right side going into whichever room has the hinges. That's the inside room. The room without the hinges is the outside room. However, what do you want to say?
Does that mean, if that second explanation, which is not, I don't think it's congruent with the first explanation of which side we put it on, so let's say downstairs,
Mordechai writes, the only between a man's side and a woman's side, Shneihem Ikar. Both of them are important, equally important rooms. One for the men, one for the women. Equal opportunity. Vishneihem Psucham Yerushus HaRabim. Each one has a second door outside. So if we're dealing with a room where I have, let's say I have one room over here with a separate entrance. One room over here with a separate entrance. One for the men, one for the women, and there's one door in between. Each one is used equally. This one for the men, this one for the women. Each one has access from the street. So there's another door, then we just have a doorway in between, we follow the hinges. Whichever side has the hinges is the inside, whichever side doesn't have the hinges is the outside. But let's say it's a different type of situation. Mabayis l'chader, olalia. What if I'm going from a house into an inner room without a secondary access point, like a bedroom? Most bedrooms don't have a doorway to outside. So you're going into a room that only has one door. Umotzil mavo mibayis l'sham. You walk in from the house to there, an inner room. Lo yazlina b'sahekatzir. We don't follow the hinges. Even if, let's say, this room, the hinges are on the outside, the mezuzah is on the right side coming into this room. The mezuzah is not, this is exactly this case. The hinges are on that side, that should have been the inner room. So which side of this doorway should the mezuzah have been on? According to the Gemara, it should have been on the right side going into that room, but it's not. Why? Because this room has no other, even the windows don't even open. They're afraid of people jumping out. So they have, so this room, there's no other way out other than there. So since this is an inner room, the doorway is clearly coming in here. Why else would you come through the door unless you're coming into this room? So this doorway belongs to this room, and even though the hinges are on the outside, the mezuzah is on the right side coming in. So if the rule in Hilchas Mezuzah is, if you're coming from outside to inside, the mezuzah always goes from outside on the right side coming into the house. Or, even if you're, let's say, two rooms within a house, but you're going from an outer room to an inner room that has no other access out, it always comes on the right side coming into the inner room. What if we have, though, many people have a situation like this, dining room and a kitchen. Usually there's two ways into a kitchen, sometimes not, but usually there's two ways in Washington Heights apartments, this usually doesn't play out, but if you're in a suburban house, usually there's two ways into a kitchen, two ways into a dining room. There's usually one door in between the dining room and the kitchen. But there's two other ways into it. So which side do you put the mezuzah on between the dining room and the kitchen? So there's no inner room there. So Gemara told us if they're equal, like Beinoshi, Beigavri, men, women, or two homes that happen to have an adjoining door, so then we follow the hinges. But the Paiskim assume if one room is primary to the other one, we don't have to resort to the rule. The hinges is like the last resort. If there's some other way of figuring out which room is the primary room for this doorway, so then we would award the doorway to that room by virtue of its merits. So here, let's say this is an inner room, the doorway belongs to this room, it's on the right side coming in. If you'd have also a room where, let's say, is more primary, is used much more than another room. I have, let's say, a dining room. We're very formal over here. And we only eat in the dining room on Shabbos. Kitchen, we're using constantly, all week long. So the kitchen is clearly the primary room to the dining room. So then all the mezuzahs should be going into the kitchen. Other Achranim Paiskim say, no, it shouldn't depend which room you use more. It depends which way you walk more. Let's say the hall, everybody walks from the kitchen to the dining room. Nobody ever walks, except on Shabbos, from the dining room to the kitchen. Everybody though walks from the kitchen to the dining room. So then clearly the doorway belongs to the dining room. So some Paiskim give emphasis to which room you use more. Some Paiskim give emphasis to which way you walk more. It's really, I think, a machlokes in detail about figuring out which room is the primary room. Rav Shechter thinks it depends on which room you use more. Many Paiskim, though, I would say the majority of Paiskim, think it depends the way you walk more. If everything is equal, then we follow the hinges. That's the rules. Yeah.
So according to the majority of Paiskim who say that it's a walking issue.
Yeah.
Something like a more obvious example would be like downstairs we have the library entrance versus the Beis Medrash entrance. Let's say most people walk in through the Beis Medrash entrance and then walk, let's say they walk out through the library entrance. Does it mean we should switch them?
No. It never goes from inside to outside. Outside is not chai from mezuzah. First rule is outside always goes on the right side inside. Patur techiv. That was the first Gemara.
You're saying walking out the door.
The only time. First rule is outside always goes on the right side going inside. Patur techiv. Right. You can't have mezuzah going outside to the whatever
based,
we call
I
this
was
thing.
Based on walking direction.
No. If I have two rooms, and then the first rule is patur techiv on the right side always going in. Then if I have an inner room with no other access, clearly the doorway belongs to here, or clearly the doorway belongs to the library or the entrance to the Beis Medrash, because the doorway cannot belong to outside. Outside is not chayv in mezuzah; it would only be coming inside. What if I have, though, two rooms inside the house, each one which has another doorway, meaning not an inner room, and this doorway? And this doorway goes between these two rooms, each one which has an access to another doorway. So which room is a tug of war? Who gets the doorway? Is it right side going to the kitchen, right side going into the dining room? So if I use one more than the other, or I walk one way more than the other, perhaps, you know, that would determine that the room, based on the merits of the room, that's the primary room and this is the secondary room. Or this is the primary room vis-a-vis this doorway or the secondary room. If everything is equal, then I go based on, that's what the Gemara is discussing, that's what the Mordechai told us, then I go based on whichever side has the hinges, that's clearly the inner room, whichever side doesn't have the hinges, that's the outer room. That's the way things break down. And what if there's neither, by the way? What if the dining room and the kitchen are each used, you don't have an eating kitchen, so every day you're eating all your meals in the dining room, and you're making all the meals in the kitchen. Every day you're constantly going back and forth, so you use each one equally, you walk the same way, you know, can't really determine you walk one way more than the other, and there's no door in between. So then it's a toss-up. You pick whichever side you want.
So according to the rule that...
They're both right, because it belongs to both rooms. Yeah.
According to the rule that the going outside, the first room...
Yeah.
Let's say nobody ever, just statistically, people did not enter through an outside door, but that was used generally as an exit.
A room that's only used as an exit.
An outer door that is only used as an exit.
So if it's used, it always goes on the right side coming in. If it's only...
It's not. It's going to the outside.
Doesn't matter. First rule, always pop to the field.
No, unless it doesn't open that way. You cannot walk in. It's an exit. It's
an escape. That's a good one. We should learn how Christmas is a fact. Emergency exits even. I will do you one better. Yes, you're right. Good questions. Fantastic. It's a more complicated issue. But yeah. Fantastic point. Okay, but this is all leading up to the following discussion. Look at the Pisrei Tshuva over here, now that we have the basic rules of Hilchos Mezuzah. The Pisrei Tshuva tells us over here in Hilchos Mezuzah, Simin Reish Pevav Sefkar Nidalf, in the name of the Chamudei Daniel. How big does a house have to be to be Chayv in Mezuzah? We said 4 amos, but 4 amos machlekes, whether it has to be exactly 4x4 or some other ratio, or some other breakdown of that same square footage. But the Sefer Chamudei Daniel tells us, Chaf Yud is Ksav Yad, it wasn't in print. It was a manuscript. Now it is in print. Near the Davka base Dira, Tsar Shia Daud Amos Adaud Amos. Ava base Shar, Umar Peses, Vigina, a entranceway, a vestibule, or a garden, which is sometimes Chayv Mezuzah, or a balcony, Afiu Lesbuhu Daud Al Daud Chayovin, or for our intents and purposes, let's say a walk in closet. Infamous walk in closet. So the Chamudei Daniel tells us, "Afil les b'udar al dar chayovin, your chayv mezuzah." Va'o near b'mishi yeshu abayis galav yeshu chadarim kitanu ani hashem chafatzim dahainu. You have a big house with lots of little closets. The chayovin b'mezuzah. the chayv mezuzah. Why? Because it's fit for its purpose. See, when do you need 4 amos? But 4 amos, if that's all you got, that's like, you know, that's your house. So then, you know, that's just too small to use. But what if it's part of a bigger structure? What if it's part of a bigger structure? And this serves a purpose. You need a walk-in closet. So it's, you know, it serves its purpose, even less than Dalat Amos by Dalat Amos. So then the Chamud de Daniel says you would be chayv in mezuzah. And then the Rashash thinks he has a proof from our Gemara. Why? Because the Gemara tells us, look down at the Gemara, ve'ein oisin oisayiva ve'ein shtei ayarois. Again, that was the case where you have Tchum Shabbos, you have 2,000 amos to walk outside of the city limits, but there is the outskirts of the city, which is 70 amos by 70 amos. You have one city over here, 70 amos, 70 amos. If there's a house in between the two outskirts, that unites it all to become one house, one city. And then I'd have 2,000 amos in either direction from the outskirts of the city. So the Gemara says, V'ein, where are we? Pick up, where is it in the Gemara? V'ein oisin oisayiva ben shtei ayarois, you know, about 15 lines up from the bottom, where the little Zion is for the Ein Mishpat near Mitzvah. Ve'ein oisin asar iba ben shtei ayaros. Da'afil kaburganin loy mashvilei. If it's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, it's not even like burganin. My time of burganin chazilu musayhu v'hai lo chazilu milse. Burganin were these little huts that the people who picked the fruits used to live in. And that was fine for the night. They lived one night in a little hut. So the Gemara seems to assume burganin would be good to unite the two cities if there's one in between. But a house that's less than Dalat Amos by Dalat Amos, not. Why are burganin better? Because burganin are usable for its purpose. So what kind of burganin, how big are these burganin? So look at the Ritva. The Ritva has two opinions. My time, a burganin and chazin l'mosayo. That's a quote from the Gemara. Why is burganin good enough to unite these two cities? Because burganin are useful for its purpose. Yesh appears but burganin shall dalat amos. These burganin are 4 amos by 4 amos. What the Gemara means to say is they're not made out of permanent materials. They're made out of huts, out of, you know, like you saw in the news recently in these islands that Nebuch are getting walloped by this hurricane. So sometimes some of the houses, these little huts, so it's not a permanent dwelling. So even though that's not a permanent dwelling by virtue of the materials, it is 4 amos by 4 amos, but it's not a permanent dwelling by virtue of the materials, since it's good enough for the night, that's good enough to unite the two cities for Eruv Tchumen. However, this house, which is not 4 amos by 4 amos, no. Then the Ritva is a second shot. Vanochoin, look in the third line, the Hachi Kamar. Dafil kaburganin ain boem dal amos by dal amos loy mashvin alay. Burganin are good even if they're less than 4 amos by 4 amos. Even though it's made out of the flimsy material and it's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, it's good enough to unite these two cities. The burganin chazil musayu. Burganin are fit for the purpose that it's made for. The avogav the lesbu dal amos by dal amos shehem sukois shayis and oisam bedarkum lasabim and maimu muzal loy vidrachum. They made it for people who are passing through, or the farmers. So it's good for that purpose, even though it's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, since it's good by its, for its purpose, that's good enough to unite these two cities. But a regular house that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, nobody can live in. This is made for a one-night stay. You know, like, that's it. So it's good enough for that purpose, so then it's good enough as well to unite the two cities. What would we say then about a room that serves its purpose with less than 4 amos by 4 amos? So that should be like the burganin. So if you have in the back of your Gemara the Rashash, or you have an Oitzim Refarshim or something like that, the Rashash writes in the back of the Gemara, Mizeh Nirali, the Beis Shar, HaPasuach Lebayis, the Chayib B'mezuzah, Afil Embo Daud Amos, Daud Amos, the Umilsai Hu Chazi. Umatzasi came to Pischei Tshuva. He found like that from the Chamudei Daniel. Why? It serves its purpose of less than 4 amos by 4 amos. It serves a permanent purpose. A walk-in closet is very useful. So even though it's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, it serves its purpose, and you should be chayv in mezuzah even though it's less than 4 amos by 4 amos. It's no different than the burganin that served the purpose for the people who are sleeping there for the night. And you would be chayv, it would be good enough to unite these two cities, so too would be good enough to be chayv in mezuzah. Yeah?
So I was squeezing out for a second, but I just want to make sure I understood the ritual.
TMI, yeah?
So some people say that it's that the Borgin were Dalat Amos by Dalat Amos, but they were made of...
Some say they were made of wicker, and even though it's temporary dwelling because it's made of nothingness, it's still good enough.
But
But that's nothing not to say anything about less than four amos per amos.
Right.
That doesn't serve its purpose. And then the Ritz Vogel goes even further. He doubles down. He says, no, these things might even be less than four amos per amos. So, but since it serves its purpose as a one-night hut,
so
that's great.
This can fit into our original hakira.
I agree. I'm about to get to that. Oh. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. However, Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer in Hilchos Mezuzah called Parcha Sedura. It's a commentary on Mesechtes Mezuzah. There are Mesechtes Ketanas that are printed at the end of the Shas, the Mesechtes of Avodah Zarah, Mesechtes Kala, Mesechtes Smachis about Avelos, Mesechtes Kala is about weddings, and there's Mesechtes Mezuzah. And he's a whole commentary, like a Mishnah Brura on Mesechtes Mezuzah. It's phenomenal. I mean, you know, Chaim Kanievsky doesn't need my askama, but phenomenal. So he disagrees with this Chamude Daniel, and he says, they're not the same. He says, perhaps in order, you know, for to unite two cities for Eruvei Tchumen, it might be good enough with some minimal home that's good enough for the night. That's to say nothing about mezuzah, that just because it serves its purpose less than Dalat Amos by Dalat Amos, that's good enough to be chayv mezuzah. Maybe mezuzah requires something that's more substantial. Maybe this is good enough for Eruvei Tchumen, that it's chazin mosayu to unite the two cities, I should get 2,000 amos in either direction. But who's to say that that translates into Hilchos Mezuzah? And in fact, he writes over here, he quotes over here from Mesechtes Mezuzah, Ois Tes, that Haburganin, Harei Eilu Peturin Min HaMezuzah. Burganin are not Chayv HaMezuzah, even though it's good enough to unite the two cities for Eruvei Tchumen. Maybe Eruvei Tchumen is good enough with a minimal house. I don't need a substantial home. But Einachinami, maybe this would not be good enough for Hilchos Mezuzah. And then he quotes from Rabbi Kiva Eger, who explicitly disagrees with this Chamude Daniel. And in fact, this is known as the Machlaikas between the Chamude Daniel and Rabbi Kiva Eger in, you know, Mezuzah circles. Because Rabbi Kiva Eger says, with regards to this exact scenario of the walk-in closet, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, you're not Chayv and Mezuzah when you walk into the closet. But he comes up with a Gaval de Gachap. He says, when are you Chayv and Mezuzah? When you come out of the closet. When you come out of the closet, so now what? You're walking from a place that's potter in mezuzah? The closet's not chayv. It's less than da'at amas by da'at amas. Now you're walking into your bedroom. That is chayv in mezuzah. That's no different than walking from this plaza over here into Gluck Hall. Because you're coming from a place that's potter in mezuzah to a place that's chayv in mezuzah. So Rebbe Kivega says you don't need mezuzah coming into the closet because the fact that it's chazil and mosayu doesn't matter. That might be good enough for Eruv Beit Chumen, but not when it comes to mezuzah. It has to be 4 amas by 4 amas. But you're chayv when you come out of the closet into the room. So it's be on the left side of the walk-in closet. Why? So perhaps this machlekes again goes back, as I was suggesting, goes back to our original issue. If the reason why you need a shear of Dalat Amos by Dalat Amos is like the Rambam told us, that this is halacha l'moshe miSinai in square footage, less than this is not called a bias, not because you need to live there in a permanent fashion, this is the definition, you know, the textbook definition of what a bias is square footage. So then, it doesn't matter that it happens to serve a useful purpose for your house when it's less than that. This is non-negotiable. This is square footage. That's what it has to be. So if that's the case, Rabbi Kiva Eger's argument makes good sense. That you're not chayv when you go into the closet, you're chayv when you come out of the closet. However, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, according to the Rush, the reason why you need 4 amos by 4 amos is because less than that people can't live in a permanent fashion. But then the Chamude Daniel is a very persuasive argument. But people, if you do have a room, which does, that's if it's, you know, an independent freestanding structure. But if it's part of a larger home, the rooms that are less than 4 amos and 4 amos serve a very constructive purpose. Without closets, it's very, you know, they're very useful in the home. Certainly a walk-in closet. So then it does serve a useful purpose. This room is kosher. Or sometimes you have, so then it would be chayv and mezuzah. That's the argument of the Chamude Daniel. Ramesha disagrees with both. Ramesha doesn't like any of these things. He says the Chamude Daniel is wrong. You need 4 amos, but 4 amos is not negotiable. And then he says to Rabbi Kiva Eger, why aren't you, he says, a brilliant chap, why aren't you chayv them when you come out of the potter when you walk into the closet, right? Now you're in the closet and you're going to come out. Oh, it's like I'm coming from somewhere that's potter to somewhere that's chayv. I'm coming from the street into my house. Why am I chayv and mezuzah on the right side going into the bedroom? Ramesha says, if you would say that you are, what about a bathroom? Chayv and mezuzah when you go into a bathroom? No, because even though it serves a purpose, it's a purpose that's mevuzah. It's not shel kavod. So the Gemara says to himself, there's no mezuzah going into a bathroom. Says Rav Moshe, going into the bathroom, I understand there's no mezuzah. Why don't you have a mezuzah coming out of the bathroom?
Well, the doorway itself.
Your mezuzah, the bathroom's potter. Yeah, what are you going to say? The doorway?
The door itself, whatever. Mezuzah, what are you saying?
The doorway gone. The doorway belongs.
Belongs to the bathroom.
Belongs to the bathroom. What if the bathroom is less than 4 amas by 4 amas? Does it still belong to the bathroom? Yes. Who ever heard of a mezuzah on the doorway coming out of a small bathroom? A half a bath. No one. Never see it. You know why Ramesha says? The doorway belongs to the bathroom. That's the inner room. It always belongs to the inner room. So if the inner room is putter, you're putter. But the doorway belongs to the inner room. You can't take the doorway away from the inner room. So it belongs to the bathroom coming in or going out. It always belongs to the bathroom. So he says back to B'kiva Hager, the closet door belongs to the closet. And if the closet is less than 4 amas by 4 amas, it's always putter. So in America, most people, we pass like Ramesha. You don't have to put a mezuzah on the walk-in closet in either direction. But many people treat it as a chumrah in Yerushalayim. The minhag is like the Chamudei Daniel, to have it on the right side going in. The Bnei Brak, the Chazanish, like this with B'kiva Eger. So they have the mezuzah, and Rav Shechter likes it too. That the mezuzah should be coming out of the walk-in closet. But this is a very expensive chumrah. If you have a lot of walk-in closets in your house, it's a very expensive, not very expensive. People spend a lot of money on other things that are much less important. So if you do that, a nice thing too, put a mezuzahs on your walk-in closets, should be going in, on the right side going in, perhaps on the right side coming out. But Rav Meisha and the Ikra didn't putter in either direction. Number one, perhaps you need 4 amas by 4 amas. It's non-negotiable. And even if you'll say, you're not chayav when you're going in. And we don't accept the argument of the Chamudei Daniel. Yeah, the Chazin L'Mosayah, that's good enough for Eruv Beit Chumen. Who's to say that's good enough for mezuzah? What about coming out of the closet, going into the bedroom? Rav Meisha says, no, because the doorway belongs to the closet, just like it belongs to the bathroom, yeah.
So interesting enough, you have a very fancy bathroom.